The Creative Tribe Podcast, episode 67, Finding Your Creative Spark with Katie McCullough.
Of course I'm not going to be good at it because I don't practice it, whereas some people feel like they're not creative, but you know, you don't practice your creativity. It's a skill. Yeah. A skill like any other, you definitely need to practice.
I'm Jess Van Den, and this is the Create and Thrive Podcast. A former school teacher, I turned my handmade hobby into a thriving business, and I also teach other creatives how to do the same. My goal is to help you learn how to turn your creative hobby into a thriving, profitable business. So let's get learning.
Hey Thrivers, Jess here. Welcome to another episode of the Create and Thrive Podcast. It's lovely to be with you as always. This weekend I went for a walk. Well, my friend Renee, she is training to do the TA. It's a walk in New Zealand, and it is from the top of New Zealand to the bottom of New Zealand, and it takes about 5 months, depending on how fast you walk. And she's taking a kind of a slice out of her life. It's her 40th birthday this year, and she decided as her birthday present she was going to do this hike that she'd been dreaming of doing. So she's in training for this 5 month long hike, carrying all your own food and all your own camping gear and whatnot. She's the same friend I went hiking to Fraser with. So I invited her up and said, hey, you know, I know you're training. Do you want to come and do some of the local walks just around my home? And she said yes. So she came up and she brought her big backpack full of, you know, 15 kilos worth of stuff just cause. Not like she needed any of it for the day. And we set off. And I'd planned this hike, you know, up around the lake nearby my house and then down to the next town over and then up around a mountain nearby and then back home. And I had two maps that I put together and I didn't really pay too much close attention to how far we were going to be walking. I just guesstimated it was going to be around 20, 22 kilometres. 29 kilometres later we got home. I don't think I've ever walked that far in a day in my life. I was just thankful that I was only carrying a day pack, not the 15 or so kilos that Renee was carrying. Of course, she was fine because, you know, she's doing these long walks as much as possible. But I will admit my feet were a bit sore for the next few days. The rest of me was fine, though, so that was good. recovered from my back injury of a few weeks ago, although my osteo has told me to avoid deep back bends for a while yet while my ligaments heal properly. So that's a bit frustrating, but hey, it's part of the practice. And just been really enjoying the CT Month in the Life Challenge, which started this week. I hope you're all taking part. There's heaps of people playing. It's really, really fun. If you haven't heard me talk about it, it's a month-long Instagram challenge. You can do it on Facebook too, though, if you don't have Instagram. And it is specifically for makers. And so what I have is I've created 31 prompts. So there's a prompt for every day and you take a photo or a video for that prompt and share it using the hashtag CTMonthInTheLife that day. And yeah, it's a really fun way to connect with other makers. You know, you can all check out everyone else who's playing along. It's a really awesome way to kind of get back into your marketing. You know, if you've been a bit slack with Instagram or Facebook, or, you know, you get stuck and can't think of content to post, I've given you 31 ideas over this month of content to post. And hopefully, you know, the idea is to get you posting daily and really get that, you know, that social media marketing going strongly and making connections with other makers and me. And it's really good fun. And every day there's no prizes or anything. That's not the point. The point is the enjoyment of participation. Every day I do pick my fave four. So I pick from the day before my favorite four pictures that were shared under that prompt, which I will tell you is really hard because there's always more than four that I love. But I just have to pick four. And usually I'll, you know, there'll be one or two that I really, really love. And then I'll pick the others so that there's sort of almost a theme or a color scheme or something like that. That sort of helps me narrow it down when there's like 20 that I'd really like to share. So come over to my Instagram account at Create and Thrive. If you scroll down, you'll see the challenge flyer with all of the prompts, so you can plan ahead if you want to. There might be a few there that are a little bit, you know, I'm not quite sure what this one means, but never fear, every day in the morning, Australian time, I share the day's prompt as well separately, and I give a little explanation if it's something that's a little bit left of center of what it means. So yeah, that's been really fun, and that we're playing that all of August 2016. I did it first a couple of years ago in 2014, and it was really, really successful. We had over 5,000 images shared on Instagram with the hashtag, so that was fantastic, and I'm hoping for thousands more this time around. So that's what's happening in my world. I hope you're having a wonderful week. And today we're talking about creativity. Now, I know listening to this, you're going to be, I'm guessing, a pretty creative person. You're going to have hobbies and passions and things. But what happens when that dries up? What happens when you hit a creative wall or a lull in your creativity and you just feel like you don't, you know, you've lost your mojo. You don't quite know where it's gone. You don't feel that energy and that fire of creation and creativity. And if that's never happened to you, you're, I think, very unusual and very lucky. But for most of us, we have that experience every so often. So in this episode, I invited Katie McCulloch from Green and Blues Co. To come on the show. And her mission is to kind of help people find their creative spark. So, you know, it might be people who've never thought of themselves as being creative. And we talk about that in this episode. So if you're just, you know, kind of dabbling, or you don't have a mental idea of yourself as creative. I didn't. When I started making jewelry, I didn't think of myself as a creative person at all. It just, you know, wasn't in my frame of reference. But hey, look at me now. It's a completely different life. So, and a completely different way of looking at myself. So we talk about that. And Katie takes us through kind of 5 steps for reigniting your creative spark in this episode. And yeah, so we talk about that and we tell some stories, and yeah, it's really fun and I hope you enjoy it. So let's get started with this week's episode with Katie McCulloch from Greens and Blues Co. Hi, Katie. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here to talk about creativity, because that's your thing. So before we kind of get into the nuts and bolts of the conversation, would you mind just telling everybody a bit of your story and how you got to where you are and what you're doing now?
Sure. Well, I am actually a 7th grade history teacher. That is my full-time job. And a couple years ago, I just started having, like, you know, as a teacher, creativity is a large part of my job, and I feel like I'm creative every day. But I started to realize that creativity is really for everybody else. It's for the students. It's not necessarily for me. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to make sure to be more cognizant of creativity in my own life and my own personal creativity. So I kind of started this journey of thinking, you know, like, I still very much enjoy my teaching job, but kind of what else is there? You know, what else is going on? You know, what else could I possibly do? Mm-hmm. And so over the course of, a couple years, different ideas kind of took shape and changed quite a bit and that kind of thing. And then about a year ago, I started a website called Greens and Blues Co. And really the basis of my website and, you know, my business is just helping people find their creative sparks and, you know, find what they're passionate about in their own personal creativity, and then figuring out a way to integrate that into their daily lives. Mm-hmm. So, and just helping people do that the best I can.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's some people who find creativity natural and easy and whatever, but there are some, and there are some of us who don't feel like we're creative at all. I was totally doing air quotes then.
All right, yeah, I hear people say all the time about how, oh, I wish I was creative, or I'm not creative, and really it's, you know, just acknowledging, the first step is acknowledging you're creative, and helping people understand that and realizing that creativity doesn't necessarily equal art. Mm. You know, how I'm creative might look very different from how you're creative. And everybody has their own personal brand, and just finding kind of what works for you.
That's a really good point. I was actually at a conference a few weeks ago, and one of the speakers did this little activity with the class with us about, you know, what's creativity. And we had to do this like little chart on the table. Yes, this is, sorry, the table's covered with paper. You're supposed to draw on it.
Okay.
one side is this activity is not creative, and the other side is this activity is created. And she just threw a whole lot of activities at us. Things like, you know, the person who made your lunch, you know, just every, like little things like that. It's all creativity. It's just different forms of creativity. You know, everybody is creative in some way or another. And yeah, we get this weird idea in our head that it has to just be art or corrupt, you know, what we make people listening to this podcast are going to be makers and crafters, and that is creative, but it's just one type of creativity, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, I think the more examples you give people and they realize like, oh yeah, it really does take creativity. Even, you know, even a job that doesn't sound to me that exciting, it might be exciting to somebody else, but like being an accountant or something, in certain ways of creative accounting can definitely come into play. And, you know, it's kind of like problem solving in some ways too. And
yes.
So really in any job, in any, you know, facet of your life, you can find a way to be creative. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
So I just try to help people, you know, realize that.
Yeah. I mean, I have a science background. I did a science degree, and people don't like, science is one of the most creative things you can do.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Einstein and, you know, these people,
exactly,
these crazy theoretical physicists, the stuff they come up with. But even just, you know, to be a proper research scientist, you have to think outside the box and you have to make connections between things that might not, you know, no one else has made connections between. So there's all these different kind of types of creativity. And there was this, in that same talk, there was this wonderful video, I can't remember his name, a scientist who studied creativity in like children and found that like all children under the age of 4 are like genius level inventive creatives, but then as we get older it just kind of disappears because it's not something that's fostered, and that by the time we get to adults it's like 2% of people are genius level creatives. So yeah, it's definitely something I think that we have a weird idea about in our culture, and that kind of everybody would benefit from working on it and you know, coming up with new ways to be creative.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely say, I mean, I think about it a lot. I compare it to like drawing, how you have a lot of adults, myself included, who don't consider themselves to be good at drawing.
Yep.
And the reason is because I haven't practiced in, you know, 15 years or that kind of thing, you know. Mm-hmm. So of course I'm not going to be good at it because I don't practice it. Whereas some people feel like they're not creative, but you know, you don't practice your creativity. It's a skill.
Yeah.
A skill like any other, you definitely need to practice. So
yeah, exactly. And you know, even when we go, we might have, you know, creative episodes, you might say,
yeah,
where we feel really inspired and stuff, and then that goes away again. You know, sometimes I think people who think of themselves as creative freak out when that happens. Like, mm-hmm. I've lost my mojo, I'm not having any ideas, you know, what am I going to do? I've kind of lost the core of who I am. And that's another instance where I think you would, you know, one, you have to just accept that, you know, things ebb and flow. And two, there are ways you can reignite that creativity in yourself. And that's what we're going to talk about today.
Sounds good. Sounds like fun.
So you have a little kind of system almost that you kind of take people through to do that exact thing, to find their creative spark or reignite their creative spark. So can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, I recently created a free 5-day email course called Find Your Creative Spark Adventure. And the only reason it's really called an adventure is because throughout I compare, you know, each step in the process to a different step in planning a trip and going on an adventure and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first step would be just acknowledging that you are creative, acknowledging your creativity, which we talked a little bit about already. Just the idea that even if you don't feel like you are a creative person or you don't feel like you lead a very creative life, that you need, you know, kind of stop there and just start by, you know, thinking, I am creative, and maybe going through the different ways that creativity is a part of your life. You know, maybe you don't spend hours a day painting or anything like that, but there are different aspects of your day where, you know, for everyone, I'm sure that they are creative.
Definitely.
So that would definitely be step number one. And then from there, I give in the email course, I say the next step is reflecting on your creative past. So a lot of times, if we want to figure out, you know, what really makes us happy creatively, or what we get fulfilled by, or what fulfills us when we, you know, practice creativity, we really just need to start by looking at our past. And, you know, you could go all the way back to your childhood. You could go to the recent past. And in the email course, I give a couple different exercises to do this. But it really just, you know, I think it becomes more clear to us when we stop. You know, if I were to say, you know, oh, I'm not really that creative. But if I go through like all these exercises and I say like, oh, you know, and I brainstorm, you know, how I was, you know, creative when I was younger, and maybe, you know, when I was in school and, you know, post school and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I start, you know, we'll start to see some patterns emerge there.
Yeah.
And then
can I jump in there? I have a story about exactly about that.
Sounds good.
So I myself never thought of myself as an adult as creative, really, even though, you know, this kind of, I had the science thing going on, but I didn't think of myself as creative in the making or arty or, you know, any of that sort of stuff. That was just like, no. And so when I started making jewelry, it kind of came out of nowhere. Just because I had the desire to create something tactile and real, because I was a teacher as well. And, you know, you never finish anything when you're, you know, you never have a finished product and go, here, look, I finished teaching this child. They are now ready for the world. No, it doesn't work like that. So, exactly. there's something really fulfilling in making an actual object that is then done and sent out into the world. But when I think back to when I was younger, in high school, we have 5 years of high school here in Australia.
Okay.
And in grade 8 and 9, which is your first 2 years, so you're about 13, 14, you, in grade 8, you do all the subjects, you have no choice. But then when grade 9 comes along, you can choose, like, you know, the subjects that you want to kind of do. And one of the ones that I really enjoyed in grade 8 was what we call manual arts. I think you call it shop in America. Okay. So, you know, hard craft making, metal things and wooden things and stuff like that. And I actually continued with that into grade 9 because I found it really rude. Like, I hated home economics. I hated cooking. I hated sewing. Like, fabric is like my nemesis because it just, it doesn't stay where you put it. It's constantly moving and, oh my gosh. Whereas metal and wood, they're hard. They don't, you know, they do what you tell them to do. So I've always liked working with those when I was younger. And then we moved away before I could continue my next year of manual arts. And kind of, it wasn't an option in my new school because of whatever reasons. And then I went on to do science, all the science subjects and English, study English stuff. And I kind of forgot about it. I kind of forgot that I had this thing that I enjoyed doing, because it just wasn't available to me. And then fast forward, you know, 15 years, and I discovered, you know, metalworking, silversmithing. And it took me a while to kind of make that connection back to the stuff that I enjoyed doing when I was a teenager and go, hang on a second, this is not like brand new. It's actually something I've rediscovered that I enjoyed doing when I was younger and kind of totally forgot about. So I think, you know, that sort of thing, that sort of realization, looking back can be really powerful. And you can make those connections to your younger self and the things that you enjoyed that maybe because of life circumstances or pressure from family or whatever kind of went by the wayside.
Yeah, I think for everybody, it's if you just take the time to kind of reflect on your past. And I mean, yeah, your story is a perfect example. I think for a lot of people, there would be something from their past that, you know, they enjoyed at some point. That's why they did it. And then that, you know, kind of refinding that or, you know, rediscovering it could make them really happy if they started, you know, making it a part of their daily lives. So
definitely.
Yeah. Very cool.
it worked for me. So that was nice.
Yeah.
And then I turned it into a career and here we are now. So it was.
See, you're the perfect example.
It was a win-win. So we've talked about the 5 steps, acknowledging your creativity and then reflecting on your creative past. What's the next step in the process?
So once you're done kind of looking, you know, looking in, looking towards yourself, reflecting, I'd say go out and look for inspiration. So find some new inspiration ideas. And for some people, this might not even be starting from scratch. And I think of it as All right, for people who use Pinterest a lot, a good way to even go about it is to just go look and see what you pin all the time. You know, what are you attracted to? You know, what kind of comes up again and again that you're like, ooh, I like that. I need to, you know, pin it, or, you know, I need to repin this, or, you know, this, that, or the other. And I think a lot of times you won't even have to look very far to, you know, to see like, oh yeah, this makes sense. I'm constantly pinning stuff about hand lettering.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should actually go ahead and try it, you know, or something like that.
That's a really good tip.
I think that's a good place to start.
And who doesn't love Pinterest?
I don't. I know, right? Yeah, I've actually that most people listening to your podcast enjoy it. So,
yeah, it's good fun. And that's a really good point as well. I mean, if I look at my Pinterest boards, there are definitely some hints there. I mean, I have Pinterest. It's for my businesses as well. So there's some stuff that's deliberately chosen, but there's also stuff that's just there because it's stuff I'm interested in. And we were planning, until we bought this house we've just bought recently, we were planning on building. And so I had all of these boards of like ideal kitchen, ideal lounge. And if you look through them, I'm like, yeah, that's pretty obvious the sort of style I'm attracted to. And then we found this house that kind of ticked all those boxes. It was like, hooray. So even that, even an aesthetic that you're attracted to can kind of be a hint in a kind of direction that you might want to go, I think.
Oh yeah, for sure. We've recently moved in as well, and it doesn't really make sense for my business to have all those boards. So I have all my secret boards that are filled with, you know, all that kind of stuff. But yeah.
Yeah. I love secret boards. They're great.
Yeah.
We're actually, as I record this in the Thriver Circle, we're doing a Pinterest challenge for the month. And so we're learning all about those sorts of things. So it's good fun.
Very nice. Very cool.
So you want to look out there, find inspiration, find things that you're attracted to. And I think an important point here to make as well is, and it goes back to my story, is don't be limited by who you think you are or what you think you like. Because I think people can often go, especially as we get older, we kind of get set in our ways and think, I am this sort of person, or I'm not an artist, or I can't draw. Well, it's just because you've never practiced. Like someone who's really good at drawing, sure, there's innate talent, you know, but there's also hard work, and you know, you need to devote yourself to the practice in order to improve. You can't just, and I can relate this back to yoga. I'm a yogi and I'm doing my yoga teacher training. I've been doing yoga for many years, and if I looked back at where I was when I started versus now versus where I want to be going, it's about the everyday practice. And you know, you can't just bust out a handstand tomorrow because you want to, you know. It's something that you
have, it looks cool.
You have to work and build your muscles and build your flexibility and your strength. So once we've gone out there and we've found our inspiration and some ideas, what's the next step after that?
So now it's time to kind of make sense of all the information. So you took some time to reflect, you know, brainstorm, you know, however you go about doing that. You went out, found new inspiration ideas, and then it's kind of, you're going to start looking for patterns and see, you know, see if anything emerges that way. Because my guess is if you start to compare your creative past to, you know, your inspiration and your ideas, that you'll start to see some patterns emerge. Some things will start to become very clear. Mm-hmm. You know, either you'll see the same things over and over again, or maybe you'll see that like, hey, this is something new, but, you know, it makes me really happy, or, you know, or people always tell me I'm really good at this, mm-hmm. and I like that, or I really enjoy helping people learn how to do, you know, such and such. And I think when we take time to really sit down and, you know, see what we have in front of us, it'll actually become very, very clear and probably a pretty easy answer as to, you know, what your creative spark is, what makes you happy, what fulfills you.
Yeah. And I think also you mentioned about like people saying you're good at something. Even asking the people around you, you know, like, what do you see my strengths as, or, you know, what are my creative strengths, I guess you could say.
Oh, definitely. I think that's a great idea. Cause sometimes people just see stuff in us that we really don't see in ourselves, or maybe we do, but we're scared to say like, hey, I'm good at this, or I like this, or, you know, especially if it's something different from, you know, what we have been doing and, you know, all of our lives and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Again, coming back to this idea of not putting yourself in a box and saying I'm the sort of person or I'm good at that and not good at something else, but actually just giving it a shot because what have you got to lose, really? You know,
right. And that can be really scary. I mean, that's definitely scary. And even I'll say for myself, when I started, you know, this website, Greens and Blues Co., I had it for probably like a month before I told anybody that it even existed. Just because it's like, even though I think of myself as creative, I'm not like, as I said, I'm not like creative, like I'm amazing at, you know, art, or, you know, I'm not a painter, or, you know, amazing at drawing or anything that I, you know, I normally think of as creative, but I know that I'm creative. I've always enjoyed different crafts and that kind of thing. Mm. But to like kind of put myself out there in this way, it was very, very scary. It still is. I still have like a hard time talking about it when somebody asks me, you know, somebody I know whose opinion I care about, and they say like, hey, you know, like, what is this all about? Or, you know, that kind of thing. I still get a little bit like, ooh, are they going to think this is stupid? Are they going to be like, why is she doing this? You know, so it is a really scary thing.
Yeah.
But it definitely gets easier, you know, once you do it and that kind of thing. And especially if it is different from something you've normally done, you just have to go for it and try it. Because like you said, it's like, what's the worst going to happen?
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. I mean, that's the fear. That's a really good point. So many people, so many of my students and just like makers that I've come across who have gone through my courses or whatever, there's always this point where, well, not always, but for a lot of people, there's this point where I'm talking about marketing and spreading the word and they're like, but I haven't even put it on like my personal Facebook page yet because I don't know. I don't really want to tell people what I actually know in real life about this thing. Like, I don't know. I'm scared to do that. And you're always like, well, you know, why is that fear? Like, you're happy to tell strangers on the internet, but you don't want to tell the, you know, your nearest and dearest about it. And that, I think that's that fear or that of not being good enough or of seen as doing something that's not worthwhile. Or, you know, there's all these sort of scary things that pop up in our heads that are rubbish most of the time. And you know, I say, well, gosh, I mean, if you can't tell the, you know, the people who love you and who care about you, they're going to be your biggest supporters, you know, hopefully most right. of the time. So you have to just kind of make that leap and put it out there and make, it's almost like making it real by telling the real people in your life. Like, whereas if you just put it out there and kind of random strangers are finding you, it's, they only know you through that, so it's not quite as scary. And you don't have so much invested in what they think of you either. So right. that is a very common thing that happens when people start a creative endeavor.
And I will agree, because the exact situation you described, I did the exact same thing. Whereas I had, you know, my website, you know, I had my Greens and Blues Co. Instagram and Twitter and everything, but I didn't put it on my personal Facebook until just recently. And I had like a very like gripping fear, but every single time I've put myself out there to people I know and love, I've always gotten positive feedback. So I don't, you know, like, once again, it's like, okay, where does this fear come from? But at the same time, it's always been very positive. So I encourage people to do it, even though I will totally admit that it's scary. It's ridiculous, but it is scary.
Yeah. Yeah. And I went through the same thing myself back in the day. So, yeah. You're not alone if you're thinking, yeah, that sounds exactly like me right now.
You're definitely not alone. No, not at all.
And this is kind of your last point, isn't it? Is start living it. And I guess start being real about it and honest about it and putting it out there in the world.
Yeah. And so that's definitely a big part of it. And then another part of it would be just, okay, if I figured out that I'm very, you know, I'm happy and fulfilled when I practice my creativity in such and such way, I need to figure out a way to make some time for that in my life. Mm. You know, we're all busy. No matter who you are or what you do, you're busy. Everybody is in different ways. And so it's kind of like taking an honest look at your life and saying, okay, I know this is important to me. So how can I make time for it? Is it, you know, is it something I'm going to practice daily? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it's, you know, once a week. Maybe it's a couple times a week. And then also looking at, okay, where can I find time? You know, could I not scroll Facebook or Instagram for half an hour and, you know, spend 20, 30 minutes on my creativity or my creative pursuits each day? Mm-hmm. Like, it seems like, you know, an easy one. But, you know, when we take an honest look at, like, how we actually spend our time, sometimes it's actually easy to find those little pockets of wasted time. So
true. So true.
So it is.
Yeah. There's always those pockets. I often say, try to find, like when I'm teaching like social media marketing or whatever, try to find like the dead time in your day. For example, you're waiting in the car to pick the kids up from school. You've got 10 minutes to like do something. But in a sort of larger sense, where are you kind of wasting time or just doing something else that you could let go of perhaps, that you would be better off spending your time on your creative pursuit? And also, for it's interesting for different people. Like, I'm the sort of person, I like to do my own thing and I'm quite self-directed. So generally I teach myself, like I'll use YouTube videos or if there's something I want to learn. Whereas some people, and this might be you, really benefit from going somewhere to a class or something. So that might be something to consider as well, is that, you know, if you have you've made a commitment to go to a course or a class, you know, for a certain amount of time, that might be kind of the reset button that kind of gets you into the habit of doing the thing that you want to do. So that's something to consider as well, if that's a possibility for you. And meeting like-minded people as well.
Oh, yeah, I think that's a great point. Part of it is, yeah, just knowing yourself, because, you know, how many people have, you know, signed up for tons of online courses but don't finish them because they're just the type of person that needs to go somewhere, you know, get out of their house, go be with other people and, you know, do a course that way. And so, yeah, a lot of this process is just kind of reflecting and, you know, admitting things to yourself about, you know, both positives and negatives, you know, what am I good at? What am I not? You know, where are my strengths and weaknesses? So the whole thing's just getting to know yourself a little bit better.
And I think that's a worthy pursuit. No matter what sort of framework you put it in, know thyself, as they say.
Yeah.
And you might be surprised what you find, I think. Okay, so just to recap, those 5 steps are: 1, acknowledging your creativity; 2, reflecting on your creative past; 3, finding inspiration and ideas; 4, make sense of it all; and 5, start living it. I think that's a nice little system, a nice little process to go through to kind of either find or reignite that creative spark. And I think, you know, obviously if you want to dive more deeply into that, you can go over to Katie's site. And where exactly should people go, Katie?
It is greensandblues.co.
Right. And that's A&D, of course. Yes, it's a
yes, URL. Correct.
Yep, Greens and Blues. And they can, if they join your mailing list, they can go through that course. Is that correct?
Yes.
Awesome. Yes. So if you want to kind of, this has been inspiring, you're like, yeah, that sounds awesome, head on over there and you can go through that free course. And there's lots more activities and ideas and sort of tips to help you reignite your creative spark, I guess. And do you have any final bits of advice for us, Katie?
I guess the only thing, as I said, I mean, it's the first step, but just everybody remembering that, you know, you are a creative person. And so, and that creativity, like any other skill, needs to be practiced. So, sometimes the hardest part is just getting started. So, you know, as you mentioned, if you need some help getting started, you can head over to my site and, join that Find Your Creative Spark adventure. Or I have some links there to some other free, courses on creativity. If anybody's interested, just different challenges and readings on creativity and that kind of thing. So a little something for everyone.
Awesome. And I think it's always important to kind of make time for creative inspiration in your life. Find out what works for you. You know, I love watching TED Talks and stuff like that. It always kind of gets my brain going. So, you know, don't limit yourself to one particular type of creativity. I think once you start digging into your creative self, you might open up a whole new world.
Yes, that's that is definitely true.
Thank you so much for being on the call today with me and doing this podcast, Katie. It was great to chat creativity with you.
You too. Thank you so much for having me.
I hope you enjoyed that one, Thrivers. So if you ever go through that, you know, creative lull or loss of mojo, you can always come back and listen to this episode and work your way through those 5 steps again. Or head on over to Katie's website, Greens and Blues Co. The link is over in the show notes. Just look for episode 67 over on createandthrive.com and you'll see a link to her site there. Don't forget to come and join us for the CT Month in the Life Challenge on Instagram if you want to play along. I'd love to see you there. just head on over to my Instagram account at Create and Thrive, and you'll see all of the details on how to jump on board. And you can jump on board anytime. You know, you don't have to catch up. If you're, you know, jump on board and it's day 10 already, just start there. That's fine. But you can catch up if you want. It's up to you. It's your challenge. Thanks again for listening for another week. It's been an honor, as always, to be here talking with you. I'm Jess Van Den. This has been the Create and Thrive podcast for another week. And goodbye for now.